When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's Acton Millwall. Your Friday night is not complete without. It's my favourite time of the week here on Love Sport Radio. Delighted to welcome him. We're missing Harry.
Harry's working. Yeah. There's Brexit's coming. The Fools are furiously trying to make cars before the old axe falls. And we get marooned from the continent of Europe. Or they get marooned from us.
There you go. I mean, I don't know what he's working on today. What part of the car it is.
I think he's on like spigots.
Boat duty.
Boot duty.
What's a spigot? What is a spigot?
Back seats.
It's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah. That's exactly what he's on.
He's on it.
He's on back seats, yeah. We're missing Harry tonight, but we've got young Mickey Avery in the building. Purveyor of everything Millwall. He knows everything that goes on inside the club.
Shop.
Yeah. And the daddy of all Millwall podcasts.
The daddy of the wing.
Everybody knows him. His name's Nick Hart.
Seems so, doesn't it? Yeah. Exactly. Good to be here. It's good to be here.
Yeah, this is your Friday night. It's your number one Millwall podcast.
It certainly is.
Numbered one, as they would say in Iran.
Mind you, you want to hear the other ones. This is number one.
No one likes him. let's start off by looking at the big win last weekend against Wimbledon. Nick, your back held out, you went.
I went, yeah. Well, I mean,
cramped conditions.
I had a bit of back trouble last week. This is not a show devoted to my medical ailments, listeners, but I had a bit of back trouble. But no, I rode through the pain. I had a parking space next door to the ground. Very suburban location, isn't it?
What do you mean you had a parking space next door to the ground?
I went on the website. People hire out their
But
their
Nick,
front,
you do realise there's free parking there.
Well, not
at the ground.
Well, in the ground, is it?
Yeah, it's all free. You just basically have to turn up and park
and get my tenner off that woman.
You do that. You rent off some old beard with some old biddy with a beard. Drive
away. Turn me over.
Exactly.
Strike me.
Clamping your motor there until you've paid the £10.
That's destroyed my happiness, listeners. I was really happy with having a parking bay right next to the ground.
You didn't have the chips, did you?
No, I didn't try the chips. No. I was warned off of them, wasn't I?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Anyway, give us your thoughts on the game. Give us your thoughts on the ground.
Well, I mean, it's clearly AFC Wimbledon's story is well known, and that used to be Kingstonian's football ground back in the olden days. Yeah. So it's a very non-league setup.
Bijou is what I'd say.
I'm not knocking it for that. It's a very suburban area. It's not really a footballing hotbed of an area, and I wish Wimbledon well to get back to Plough Lane. That's where they come from, and that's where they should be. We rode our luck. I mean, Wimbledon hit the post inside, was it about 2 minutes?
It was in the first minute they hit the post,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, first attack, and we were in for a long afternoon here, and I actually thought, obviously we hit back with the goal from Murray Wallace, which was our best move for me, the best move of the game. Maybe a couple of late chances where Jed was broke through, I remember, and... you know, we pressed forward a little bit towards the end, but Otherwise, it felt a little bit like we were under a lot of pressure from Wimbledon. If they'd have had a better forward line, we would have been in trouble. So I don't know what you made of it. You saw the beanback, Michael, didn't you? I thought we
did see the beanback. The beanback didn't make it much better, if honest. And as we said last week, and as you've just said there, and as I said after a few hop asses in the exec lounge, other beers are available, of course. If they could finish, we would have been in trouble, because they had a few good chances, came close, they hit the post. You know, they defended well. There was that effort where Lee Gregory ran through on goal, and was it Lee Gregory ran through and someone caught him last minute, and everyone thought it was a penalty. But if you look back, it was a good tackle.
That was the defender breaking back.
You know,
and Jed.
Yeah, and they're a good side. I'm not just saying it because we only just beat them, or there's the romance with the AFC Wimbledon going through the leagues. But we like a few of us said after the game that, you know, when sides get relegated from League One, they tend to have a bit of a plummet and then look over their shoulder with non-league looming. But I can see AFC Wimbledon really being one of those sides. If they did go down, they'd probably be in contention to go back up if they kept their squad, because that's a good team they've got.
Of course, they won midweek as well.
They did.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Rochdale, a hat-trick for Joe Piggott, Rochdale. So, good luck to the Wombles in their fights for survival. I really want to see them, as you well know. I really want quite like them, you know. I want to see them stay up. A lot of Wimbledon fans disappointed the fact that they couldn't get past that sort of that Millwall defence, but you know they sort of appreciate the fact that Millwall had a defender that could head, or two defenders that could head a ball, and they just basically came there and did a job.
Yeah, it's another game though, isn't it? I mean, I know like we beat Derby midweek, and we'll touch on that as well, but it's another one where, you know, the defence half got out of trouble, like, you know, how well they sort of defended. I know we sort of rode our luck, and it is statistically another clean sheet, but again, it's only like one goal against a team of bottom of League One.
I mean, I read all of the post-match interviews with Neil Harris, and, you know, at the end of the day, this is football speak, isn't it? The result was the only thing that matters, and 1-0 win, and we progress to the quarterfinals. Wimbledon, you know, have to focus on the league. In real time, standing on those terraces with the smell of horse manure wafting across from a horse that must have had some kind of dietary issue.
Who had the chips? Outside.
It was a grind. It can't have looked much better on the big screen, but certainly standing there, the quality of the football was not brilliant. And it sounds a bit churlish when you say this back, because here we are in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. But I thought Wimbledon, if they've had a better, the execution, whenever they ran at our central defence, I thought we looked a bit panicky. Balls lobbed in from the wings had us sixes and sevens. And they hit the post. And, you know, the post-match kind of consensus was that was a very professional job by Millwall. And the result will probably imply it. But in real time, I didn't think it was quite as clear-cut as that. I thought we scraped through.
On a positive note, I thought Shane Ferguson done well again when he came in. You know, from the bits he did do, you know, when he had the ball and he looked like quite composed.
I like Ferguson. And, you know, it was harsh on him to be dropped. I understand the formation, why he was dropped. But tough on the guy, because, you know, his story is a little subplot in its own right, isn't it?
He's the AFC Wimbledon.
The AFC Wimbledon of the Millwall squad. He's got a new contract now. We've signed up. And whenever he does, in recent times, he went out of form. That was the reason why he was dropped. He wasn't dropped for no reasons, but he's come back into form, worked his way back.
Of course, a man who made well over 100 appearances for Millwall. I don't know what his reputation was. I thought it was quite good at Millwall, but he had a horrendous reputation at Wimbledon. It was Liam Trotter, who left for Orange County.
Orange County, OC.
Orange County Soccer Club, which is in a suburb of Irvine, California. But yeah, he left for them this week.
Liam, I always thought that Liam Trotter was potentially a very good midfield passer of the ball, and I think anyone that saw him who was, fair in their assessment would say he certainly had all of the ingredients. What he lacked was the ability to be industrious. He didn't. He did the kind of the silky skill side of it without ever. The work rate required of a Millwall midfield, and that was the problem. He was a good player, and he didn't do badly for us, but he was never a popular boy, was he?
For some reason, it just didn't click with the fan base, did it? I will disagree with you slightly there, Nick. I did think that on his day, when he was on song, I don't think there was a better midfielder in the league than Liam Trier. I thought he was a phenomenal player. And I did think there was times where, I know you just said he didn't have the industrious side, but I think when he had a good game and, as I said, was on song, he was the complete midfielder. My issue with Liam Trotter was he wasn't consistent enough.
No. And I mean, he came as a package with Liam Thieney, another Liam on the wing.
Mm.
They both went to Bolton, and there was a sense there was no great loss when they both went. And I thought Thieney, when in the same way as Trotter, had the potential but didn't have that kind of mental strength to produce it on demand. So Orange County, I can imagine him being the real king of the Orange County, actually.
Well, yeah, he was led there by Harry Forrester, who was on loan at Wimbledon and then ended up having a couple of gigs at Tractor Sarzi. Do you know Tractor Sarzi?
How could you not?
I'm guessing that's a Russian. A
no, it's Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan. Okay.
Tractor Sarzi. I'll just give you a bit of info. And they play at the Sahan Stadium.
Oh, that place.
Yeah, with a capacity of 76,000.
Yeah.
But then he actually had to go on loan down to Machine Sarzi, who play at the Bonyan Diesel Stadium, with a capacity. That's actually in Iran, by the way, with a capacity of 15,000.
Iranian football. Wow.
I love the way you say these things as if we don't know it, Aaron.
Well, sorry, mate. I just got to make sure.
We're quite a cosmopolitan crowd at Millwall. You know, we know our Iranian football, so Ashkenazis, we know all about that.
You don't even need to quiz us on it.
Exactly. I definitely don't. We're going to take a pause on the way back. We're going to be looking back at the game between FLDC, Frank Lampard's Derby County, and Millwall during the week. In the Premier League, West Ham 2, Fulham 1, Cardiff 0, Watford 3. Gerard Deulofeu with a hat-trick for Watford this evening. We'll be back on the other side.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
This is Love Sport with Achtung Millwall for your Friday night across the capital, giving you your weekly dose of all things Lions. Are we back tomorrow on the old commentary gig?
Yeah, we will be. We'll be back there. Preston North End. Yeah.
PNE.
PNE. I wouldn't miss that for the world.
PNE. Yeah. Are you going up? Is that
it's at the Den.
Oh, it's at the Den, isn't it?
Yeah. PNE PP, as their badge says. Don't know what the PP means.
Proud Preston, that means.
Oh, does
it? Do you know what it means, Proud Preston? Preston were the very first champions of the Football League. They won the double in their first season. They were unbeaten. They were the 1888, 89. And Proud Preston, because they did not get beaten that first season. So Proud Preston.
I mean, I've always found it quite scary how they've got a lamb with a crucifix. So
lamb and cross, old English symbols, you know, the lamb of Jesus.
Yeah, it's concerning we know more about, or I know more about Iranian football than I do about Preston North End.
Well, there we are, kids.
What do you know about Derby, though? Derby,
Frank Lampard's Derby.
The Rams.
Frank Lampard's Derby.
Yeah.
Good win. That was a professional win. I mean, we were just talking about the AFC Wimbledon game and, you know, the post-match review of that game where, you know, I felt we scraped through, but we didn't scrape through at Derby. We pretty much controlled Frank Lampard's Derby out of the game. One or two late chances.
Mm.
Apart from that, a lot of not much from them. So, you know, I thought that was a real result. We did a job there.
Yeah, exactly. And another clean sheet. I know I keep saying it, but for a team who's near the bottom of the table and struggling, we are keeping the goals out, aren't we?
It fascinated me because I was watching on the red button on Sky, and the commentary team was Tony Gale, I think, is a ex-West Ham man, I think.
Yeah.
And Ian Avril, I don't know who the other bloke was, but they kept talking about Frank Lampard as a potential Chelsea manager when Sarri gets the sack. And I said to my wife, even though she wasn't all that interested, what's he ever won? He's done nothing. I mean, apart from being Frank Lampard. And
what did she say?
She agreed with me. You know, what's he ever done?
I thought she said, Nick, I'm trying to watch the Iranian football here on my iPad.
She was just agog with the football that was on display.
I think
you know.
So.
you know, apart from being Frank Lampard, why would you hire him? I mean, if he can't unpick a Millwall defence that's set up in the classic two banks of four, park the bus style, which is what we did, and we went to have a very perfectly valid approach. If they can't unpick that, then he's not really fit for you know, the top flight of the Premier League, I would suggest, dear listeners. But there we are.
Mm, yeah, Derby's always a side that I always argue should be in the Premier League.
Big club.
Yeah, they're a huge club. You know, there's a number of clubs that are in the Premier League at the moment, which, yes, by merit or by hook or by crook, they've got there. But you know, you look at the likes of Derby's and Forest's, Leeds United. You know, they should be there. So for a team, you know, who's got aspirations of going up, who spent an awful lot of money, who've got a very good strike force, including the likes of, you know, Martin Wakehorn, yeah, these type of players. You've got a David Nugent with experience who's on the bench. You know, I know we discussed it outside, but, you know, Ashley Cole being signed again, Scott Carson, yeah, who's a good goalkeeper, Richard Keogh, even though he couldn't be inconsistent, you know, he's a Republic of Ireland international. They shouldn't be losing at home to Millwall, in all honesty.
Ashley Cole came from the Orange County, didn't he? Was he playing the same club as
no, Leeds? No, he came from Kazakh. No, it was LA Galaxy.
The LA Galaxy, not the Orange Galaxy. County. I mean, if I were a Derby fan, God forbid, I'd been very aghast at that performance, because that was a poor show by him. Just looking at Neil Harris's quote, he wants to praise the defensive ability. I think he's got it right on Wednesday night. That was a strong defensive performance. The commentary team on Sky were praising the defensive screen of Ryan Leonard and Sean Williams. And I think one or two online have praised Sean Williams' performance on Wednesday. And I've got to agree. I mean, as the quote says, in the 93rd minute was their first shot on goal. That's quite an achievement for, you know, for a team with a top value player, one point something million, as against their resources. Mm. So, no, great performance, three valuable points. And as I've put in my notes here, FA Cup glory, relegation fears eased, and just the one FA inquiry for the week. That's pretty good going for me.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's our version of the treble. Man United had the Premier League, the FA Cup and the Champions League, yeah.
So, yeah, certainly it helped on the relegation front. I mean, we were starting to look over our shoulders. The cup run's fine and we'll want to progress, but it can't be at the expense of league form, and that slightly ease those worries. Another 3 points tomorrow would be fantastic against Preston. I think that'll be another tall, you know, tough gig tomorrow.
Mm. And that also got the albatross off our neck a bit as well, didn't it, with the goal, because, you know, Neil Harris said there, we've said it as well, defensively, that doesn't even really seem to be the issue, because, you know, we had the home 0-0 against Rotherham, and Sheffield Wednesday was a 0-0 as well.
Yeah, that was,
you know,
we've
had a lot of clean sheets, and it's the in front of goal that was the issue. I know we've only scored one in the league in recent games and in the cup, but we're now starting to score.
Nice finish by Jed, actually.
Yeah, he took it really well.
He took that ball on the break and got the shot away on target. If you do that, you're always in with a chance, aren't you? And I suppose you could argue it was a goalkeeping error, because it kind of went underneath the goalkeeper to a degree, but that's...
We're not used to seeing goalkeeping errors normally, are we? Aaron, that's why it shocked us.
I also would have... I mean, I thought Jordan Archer did a good job as well. On both occasions, he sent a few balls out of the ground and drew some fruity comment about halfway through the first half. He kept angling his goal kicks out of the stadium, which didn't help him, but he made some good saves as well. So, you know, and again on Wednesday, I thought he did a good job there, so... There's always this contradictory mix with Jordan Archer, isn't there? You know, you get the good, the bad, and the ugly in equal measure.
Mm. I'll be interested to see what formation he plays tomorrow, because that was a 4-4-2 he played, wasn't it, against Derby?
Yeah.
And I believe, was it a 4-4-2 against Wimbledon as well?
It would have been, yeah. Obviously, we may have more of Tom Elliott available tomorrow. He came on Wednesday. Whether he's up to 90 minutes yet, I don't know. But we did go into the full... direct route, hit Tom Elliott and flick on, but that's not a problem for me, because that's the squad that we have at the moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, to see him back in the fray. Interestingly, Morrison didn't take the pitch at all in the last two games, which is you know, I know Morrison has his critics at times. I always like it when he's on the pitch. It just gives you a bit of extra nous and know-how.
Je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi.
And we need his pace on the right wing. When he's been putting him on the wing.
I think I had more pace last Saturday, and I was hobbling around back to my paid-for car parking spot.
That's poor from Nick Carr. We're going to take a break, and on the way back, we're going to be talking about Millwall's single FA charge this week.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Planning the old Millwall Luncheon Club for next week.
Porrick's music policy is on point tonight. Yeah.
While we're headbanging to Depeche Mode.
You like a bit of this?
Oh yeah.
Anyway, yeah, the Millwall Luncheon Club meets every Saturday. If you want to join in, you know, you're more than welcome.
Bit of pie mash at Goddard's.
Yeah, why not? It's a good shout.
Yep.
You know, as we sort of tour the pie and mash. The pie houses of South London. Anyway, cracking on. Just the one charge from Millwall.
Hooray!
This week. And
with a home game against Brighton looming, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
FA charges. I mean, you get a lot of opinion online, obviously, but the FA rule is actually quite clear, whether you like that or whether you agree with it or whatever. The FA rules are quite clear. If there is chanting of a racist description, which there was, because it's all over the social media, so there's not really much you can, you know, argue about, then you have broken the rules, whether you like it or not. I mean, you get all sorts of odd opinions put back to you about whether... you know, who are members of a race and who are not members of a race, it don't really cut much mustard. I mean, I think we've got to accept that the rules have been crossed and there will be a punishment of some sort. In fairness to Mill Football Club, they've got, I think they always did have microphones there. I know there's this urban myth they put microphones in, but I think the microphones have been there for a long time and they've closed down a couple of rows at the back of the stand, and I guess that they will put forward the case that the club has done as much as reasonably possible to control it. If they identify the participants, then they'll be banned. I'm not sure how practical that will be, but the club will try to do that. So I still think we're going to get a punishment, and I think that the FA are looking for reasons to come down hard on this issue, and obviously there we are. Good old Millwall stepping up to the plate just at the moment where everyone wants to have a convenient fall guy, and you know, we put our hand up at the back of the class saying, me sir, please. And so, you know, it remains to be seen what the punishment is. I think if it's consistent with other clubs, then that will be the best the club can hope to achieve, and I'm sure they'll appoint lawyers to try to get that. Whether the FA want to be seen to be cracking down on this issue or not, it remains to be seen. It won't surprise me if they do come down hard on us.
Mickey?
Yeah, I concur. There's not really a lot more I can add to that. I do think, yes, that there are people who go out there and say, you know, oh, but other clubs are doing this and other clubs have got history of doing that and they're doing it as well. But it sort of goes back to the argument of, well, if your best mate tells you to put your head in the oven, would you do it? You know, you can't say just because someone else has done it, you've got to...
It's no defence.
You look at them as well again. And...
You know, it's this idea of do two wrongs make a right. Well, no, they don't. And whatever Chelsea do, whatever West Ham do, whatever England do, is neither here nor there. We are banged to rights. Now, people might not like the idea that we're banged to rights, but someone's filmed it and you can't argue that. So, no, I think there will be a punishment. I think the only debate will be how much and what comes next if any further incidents happen.
So. That's certainly going to be the question. I don't know if we're allowed to mention a certain Lord's name.
Usually.
Who's been out.
I just did mention him, didn't I?
Well, yeah, you did, so I wasn't listening.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, there's an article in the Daily Mail, that fine bastion of liberal thoughts, you know, that supported the black shirts in the 30s and hurrah for Lord Moseley or whatever his name was. Anyway, they've done a bit of a hatchet job on Lord Ousley, who set up the Kick It Out campaign and, from what I could read on Wikipedia, has given his life to public service and the promotion of anti-racist policies. But now he's apparently a covert member of the Bushwhackers and always votes for Millwall every time we're in front of the FA. He always puts his vote in for us. So actually, from what I could read, he's actually a lifelong Manchester United fan. with a soft spot for Millwall and Dulwich Hamlet because he lives in the area. So not quite the...
How convenient.
Yeah, not quite the nutty turnout member that some would have you believe. I do feel that there's an agenda. I think that it's... We live in the times we live in. There's a need and desire for someone somewhere sometime to pay a heavy price for what is unacceptable. And the best defence of all, if anyone's listening at this, don't do it. You don't do it, and you can't get caught for it. It's basic basic thought processes here. But I do think that the FA will be looking at us very, very hard.
And that's the thing as well that. That, like you were saying about the FA looking at us hard as well. I mean, some people say about the kickoff times and, you know, bring them forward and bring them earlier. But there is a degree as well where if you know we're under the spotlight and, you know, like we like it's half tongue in cheek and things have been said on social media. But, you know, we've drew Brighton in the cup. With all what's happened recently, all eyes will be on that game. Absolutely. They will be looking for reasons to come down on us, as you say, Nick. You know, some may have an agenda. So, just don't do it, you know?
Thankfully, I think we're playing Brighton and nothing much will happen at that game at all. I think it'll be perfectly quiet.
Yeah. Well, what everyone needs to do is everyone just needs to be nice. Be nice to each other. Yeah. Don't go singing around like singing songs. Just be nice. Get quiet.
Yeah, we sung songs on here the other week. Listen on the playback.
Or novel. Get behind the Lions and roar them on rather than worry about what the...
Why don't you make up some really nice songs like Come On You... Like Lion Cubs.
Or start singing the old Charlie Rich, what goes on behind closed doors is no one's business but yours, you know, that kind of... Yeah, let's not dwell on people's lifestyles.
No.
You know, let's not dwell on it.
No.
It's 2019. So, yeah, seriously, no, there will be journalists and members of the press looking for anything they can find.
Not me.
Not this one. No, I'm present company excluded. But
yeah, there are some journalists who historically looked at the Millwall-Brighton game a few years ago, weren't there?
Well, there was a journalist from The Voice newspaper, and Raymond Enisu, I think is how you pronounce his surname, and he came to a Mill versus Brighton game back when Brighton were, you know, playing out of an athletics ground in on the fringes of the university.
The Withdean, isn't it?
The Withdean Stadium. And he claimed to hear overtly Nazi chanting. Sieg Heil, he was hearing, which turned out to be seagulls. And he had to admit his error. Afterwards.
I got it wrong.
But it was a desire to hear it as much as actually hearing it. So that's not to say that we're composed of angels and, you know, followers of St. Francis of Assisi. We're not. I mean, no. We have people that do stupid things. And if only those people wouldn't do stupid things, then, you know, we'd be talking about something else on this show.
We are going to talk about something else soon, though. We're going to be looking ahead to the game against PNE. Plus, we got your club shop update. And I was perplexed by a brilliant tweet put out by the club earlier.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
We'll be right back. love a bit of Joy Division.
We got great stuff. Great love. Band. He's on fire. Porrick's musical taste tonight is on fire.
He saves it all for Millwall.
He does.
Saves it all for Millwall. Yeah, tomorrow, down at the Den, PNE are the visitors. Preston North End.
Sounds vaguely continental. PNE. PNE Preston. It's like
PNE. PNE.
Steve McLaren. Kind of, yeah, the boys, you know, sure.
Arsenal,
PNE.
The Europa League, yeah. Emirates, big stadium.
Proud Preston. Well, they're 11th in the table, so they're kind of having an okay season. I think it's a tough game tomorrow. I think we'll be up against it. Alex Neil, their manager, wouldn't he?
He's
the Norwich bloke.
They struggled initially, but they sort of turned things around and, you know, they look a half decent side. They've got some good players, and the one who I really, really like is Alan Brown.
Yeah, the midfielder.
He's such a good player. Mm. And you know, I've been fortunate enough to commentate on them a couple of times, and they've been, you know, really, really good. They've got like a half-decent mix of players in there. Ben Pearson's decent. Daniel Johnson's been there for a while now since coming from Villa. Huntington is decent. And sorry, their number 29 is someone who everyone's got like a different pronunciation. Barkhuizen, Barkhuizen, Barkhuizen.
Dutchman, is he? Or was it?
No, he's from Bognor. He's from Blackpool. He's from Blackpool.
Okay.
Yeah, Barkhuizen, Barkhuizen. Just call him Ed, really. But yeah, they've got some decent players in there, and you know, they can do a job. Like they strengthened, but they bought a couple from Bristol Rovers last January, who are like Louis Moulton and whatnot. Who have no, he didn't come from Bristol Rovers. There was someone else who came. I think it was Billy Bowden. It was Billy Bowden, it was, okay, who came in from Bristol Rovers. But they've brought in a few players, they've strengthened, and they're a half-decent side.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, going back to the result on Wednesday, I think we're at our best when we can sit behind the ball and let teams come on to us. And at home, it's a little bit more difficult because we've got to take the game to Preston. And I think that's again, it's a game we could use another 3 points. I mean, if we can get another 3 points tomorrow, then we really do put a nice warm duvet around ourselves with a nice comfy pillow to you know, nod off to. So it's I think, you know, any game where we have to take the initiative to the other side is one that we never look quite comfortable in that role, to me. Mm. Certainly not with the team as it's constructed at the moment.
Yeah, they've always been not necessarily a bogey side, but they've always one we've struggled against. You know, we beat them in the cup a few years back, but before then, I think the last time we beat them, what I think I'm looking at earlier on, like Paul Eiffel and Tim Cahill were the last time that we beat them in the league. So it's been quite a while. You know, we tend to get draws. I mean, we had the Boer draw at home last year.
Yeah,
it was I think it was a 0-0, wasn't it, last year? But Alex Neil, he'd done it with Norwich and he's doing it with Preston. He just makes his teams hard to beat first, and like Aaron says, then he sort of builds on that. And Brown, you were saying earlier on, for a centre midfielder, has he got 11 goals already?
They brought him in from Cork. I don't think he's played a game for Cork. Mm. But he's one of their guys in midfield, and he's absolutely top class. Very quickly, can I just give you a couple of score updates? West Ham are 3-1 up now on Fulham. That game looks all done and dusted. Question is Fulham's season done and dusted? In the other game of the Premier League tonight, because there was two, Cardiff 1, Watford 5 at the moment. Watford 5-1 up on Cardiff. Wow. Troy Deeney scored their fifth hat trick for Delafeu and two for Deeney. In the 91st minute, Troy Deeney's got that one. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Cardiff can bounce back from that. But yeah, that one confirmed at the London Stadium. West Ham 3, Fulham 1. Fulham just looked absolutely beaten. Well, you'd expect to be seeing them down at the Den next season. Carrying on, we're looking ahead to the game against Preston. I was talking yesterday to a QPR fan, and we're looking at the Championship table just going, you know, it's starting to divvy up nicely now. You know, you're gonna get all the different sections forming. So if I look at the top end, you've got sort of, what, four teams playing for the top two places. Mm. Norwich, Sheffield United, Leeds and West Brom. Down into the playoffs, sort of, there's 4 points between Nottingham Forest and Derby. Derby have got a game in hand over them, but, you know, Millwall could have finished off that, well, if they'd lost, could have finished off that playoff gap. But Millwall have kept it alive just about for Forest. You've got the mid-ranger teams, and then you've got, you know, sort of 5 points between Wigan and Reading. Three between Reading and Bolton and Ipswich down there in rock bottom 20 points. it's divvying up completely, but I can't see things changing massively. I think those three, Rotherham, Bolton, Ipswich, are the ones who are going to be sinking.
Well, Ipswich for certain. Bolton look like they lose critical moments. The other two, is it Reading and Rotherham, are fighting on the current table for the third relegation spot. You just get a sense that Reading have got a little bit more than Rotherham when it comes to the to the grit needed. I mean, I think we've got about a 5-point gap now between us and the third bottom spot. So that's better, much better than what we went into Wednesday night with. I won't be entirely comfortable until that's decisively out of sight. I mean, from Preston's point of view tomorrow, just talking about the table there, I mean, this is a kind of stage of the season where unbeaten runs, but three or four games unbeaten can really boost you up the table. So Preston will be thinking in terms of stringing something together. You know, from their point of view, a result tomorrow will be potentially the start of a decent run into the kind of crucial March-April zone. Mm. So we've got to be on guard tomorrow. I think if we can grind out a result, I don't mind grinding a result out against teams like Preston. Anything other than the loss tomorrow would be a decent result for us.
Preston are in good form as well. I mean, I think they've not lost in their last six or something like that. They've got four wins and two draws, or three wins and three draws. You know, it's a good run they're on at the moment, I believe. But you're right, Aaron. You know, the bottom two is pretty much sewn up already. I think Bolton have got too many off-field problems to recover from that. You know, it's very rare when a team's got those kind of issues going off the field. You know, chairman's not even being...
Huge debt from the past.
You know, exactly. Let's be brutally honest, if you're not being paid, you're not going to perform.
Very strange how this club has, like, lurched since being out of the Premier League. I mean, Eddie Davis, the guy who gave them, like, £180 million, and then one day after not being paid back a penny, goes, actually, I think I'm going to stop giving you my money now. Mm. And then the poor guy died as well. You know, just like, it's crazy how, like, things have worked out for them.
I mean, it's a shame. When I was reading earlier on before I came up here tonight, Coventry City are now going to be potentially out of the Ricoh stadium.
Can you imagine if they're expelled out of the league?
Yeah, and an expulsion. I mean, that has happened
they
in the past.
They should never have left Highfield Road. It was a great ground.
Yeah, they got caught in the Premier Leagueisation of the game. They wanted to be in their brand. I mean, it was a council-built stadium. I mean, much money is the council invested in
the place? The funny thing is I think Jaguar were investing in it, and then Jaguar pulled out. Right. And then Ricoh, who I think they make cameras or photography equipment or something like that, they backed it. And they had so many issues with their ownership, Sisu. It's just turned into a complete and utter mess. But Highfield Road was a really good... I don't know if you ever went.
Yeah, I've been to Highfield a long time ago now.
Great ground. Great ground. I remember watching Oggy play.
Ogrizovic.
With the Peugeot kit. Very strange looking guy, Oggy. But I watched him play. Great ground. Mm. They never had to move from there. And it's just going to ruin them. Now, the problem is, apparently... No, the FA are going to keep rejecting their applications for a ground share with someone because they want to go back to Northampton or somewhere like that. They're being held to ransom by Wasps.
Yeah,
where are they? They're locked.
With the Coventry thing, though, I mean, a couple of years ago they were looking at ground sharing with Coventry Rugby Club, weren't they?
Butts Park.
Yeah, but also to a degree with Wasps. They've not done a lot wrong. They put up the money. That was the asking price, and they paid it. Mm. You know, and you know they've developed the ground. They've said that Coventry can stay there as tenants, but it's a very interesting one with Coventry. They take Wasps to court, lose the court case, and then go, can we still stay in there? And it's a bit like, well, you're not helping yourself really there, are you?
Also, the idea of going to share with Northampton, who the ground is half completed because the £10 million loan from the council
disappeared.
Went walk about. So such is the state of football in 2019. It's a shame. I mean, I know this is a Millwall show and we all focus on our own clubs, but you've got to sometimes acknowledge that the game is poorly run by it deserves better. Those 100%, two clubs deserve better.
100%. Yeah. Should we turn things on to lighten it and go for the club shop update?
Well, why not?
Let's do it.
We've all got one and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Stick a pony in me pocket. I'll fetch the suitcase from the bank. Cause if you want the best ones, but you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man.
like the changing of the seasons and the tides of the sea.
I'll do a Nick impression. Yes, dear listeners.
Oh, we haven't had the letters to Nick this week.
Yeah, we haven't had letters to Nick, have we?
No, we haven't had one. Send us a letter.
Was that with your bulging sack?
My bulging sack. My sack's not bulging tonight.
No, it's not. It's rather...
Send us your letters.
Anyway, it's time for my favourite thing of the week. It's time for the Club Shop update. Young Mickey Avery scours them markets like David Dimbleby in a fake tan. Oh, is it David Dimbleby? David Dickinson. David Dimbleby.
He's a serious political commentator.
In a fake tan aisle. In a tie shop. But yeah, young Mickey Avery, he's been looking for them bargains high and low. What you got for us this week, pal?
Well, do you know what? I think I'll let my
assistant.
My Rodney to my Del Boy lead this week.
I've been told to stick strictly to the script, dear listeners. So anyway, Millwall Chunky Scarf. I'm going to try and put my old advert, cinema advert voice on for you as well. Millwall Chunky Scarves. Temperatures are going up, but prices are going down. On scarves, we mean. Do you have poor circulation? Do you have low blood pressure, like our good friend Harry Warren? Has the action on the field made you feel cold and you actually are? Well, if the answer to these questions is yes, get yourself down to the Mill Club shop. Where you get 50%, that's 50%, 50% on the chunky knit scarf.
How much?
50%. It's available in navy, black, or also pink for your oversized shirt-wearing darts-playing woman in your life. £10 gets you a Millwall chunky scarf, and the one that comes closest to having any relevance to Millwall is the blue one.
Now,
does
Mrs. Hart play darts at all, or any other form of bar-based sports?
Put a weapon in her hand, and she's lethal.
Are you going to be picking up a pink one for her, maybe?
Maybe to hang myself with. When I get indoors with this, brandishing this as my gift. Millwall chunky scarves, listeners, get yourself down to that club shop.
Currently not in stock.
It's a bit awkward.
So what's next? We've got some some crest curtains here. Who's taking a crest curtain?
Coming on, Quail.
Mickey and Nikki. Size is everything, you know. Are you sick and tired of the old crest? Do you need new curtains? Do you need something to cover the windows so people can't peer in and see your 10-inch Zampa? By the way, Millwall girl who I was reaching out to last week, if you still want a 10-inch Zampa, I'm down the den next week. I'll happily buy you one. Oh, well, Nick, I'll tell you something. Back in the 80s, they always said girth was everything. It still is.
This show are we doing?
For only £15, you can get 54-inch curtains. Wow. 54 inches.
But if that's not good enough, what else you got?
72 inches of pure curtain pleasure. Your window panes will be the envy of South London with them Millwall new crest curtains, or that I put down a 5% deposit on my Bovis new build. Yeah, somewhere out in like Sidcup or somewhere like that, you know.
£15, that's all it costs.
I'll tell you something though, £15, you can save up to a tenner.
These are Millwall
on them curtains. I mean, is girth everything? Is size everything?
Well, I'm not a man to ask.
Does size matter? Paddy, does size matter? No, he says no. He says it's how you use it, isn't it? I mean, how are you going to use these? Have you ever had to cover up your 10-inch Zampa, Mickey?
with your Millwall crest curtains? I don't know. I mean,
I think 72-inch might be a bit large for my my window pane.
never big enough.
Move along. Flip-flop.
Flip-flop, yes. Flip-flop.
Got
so,
any flip-flops, Governor?
So do you need anything to go with the chunky scarves? Have you got the pre-season trip, which Millwall fans are not invited along to Portugal booked? And are the ones at Sports Direct just outside your price wage? Well, look no further than the Millwall Club shop for only £7.50. Aaron, £7.50?
How much?
There you go.
That's 50% off.
How much?
You can be the owner of the new latest piece of trendy footwear.
But
remember, this is not a typo. It is a flip-flop. So even though this attire is advertised individually, you need to ask which foot it is for.
Well, I mean...
I'm adding that to my basket.
Nick, I can imagine you rocking that with a pair of socks.
The old swimming pool, and we all know and likes us flip-flop.
And the knit scarf.
And let's not forget the towel that you've just laid on. The no-one likes us towel.
That's right, yeah.
Which is, you know... I think the word I'd use would be ugly. I mean, it's kind of like no-one likes us splattered in paint type graffiti... writing of a Millwall crest on it. I suppose it would keep Germans off of your sunbed, wouldn't it? For you to flip-flop along and you know one likes us.
That's true. I mean, the slight issue I've got is the flip-flop sizes range between 11 and 12. And when you've got one flip-flop, it's just going to be awkward, really.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole size, it's just a mess.
We've got to have a star item, though. We can't leave it this
bully special, bro.
Yeah, this is what it is. Yep.
Go for it, Michael.
So, and I've purposely kept the price off for Mr. Aaron Paul because we like his reactions here. So he's got his name on.
Yep.
If you go on the personalised section of the Club Shop website, which I found earlier on today.
Can we tweet that picture? This picture out?
Yes, we will. Yeah, don't you worry. So we've all been there, ladies and gentlemen. We've all looked at a wine bottle and thought, do you know what? This needs a branded and personalised decanter to go in.
It does.
Well, look no further than the personalised section of the Club Shop, where you, in capital letters, can be the proud owner of a vast number of items with a Millwall badge and your name on it. So this week's star item, are you ready, Aaron?
Go for it.
You ready, Paddy? Yep, we've got a nod. This week's star item is the Millwall FC Crest Decanter, which is yours for the bargain price of £124.90.
How much?
£124.
So yes, you may only be able to afford Lidl or Aldi Rioja after buying this one, but think of how good you'll feel having this item in the drink cabinet. Please note in the small print, not dishwasher proof, and forename and surname, likely to fade away after the second bottle of wine.
Wow.
I'm going to be banging a bottle of Ribena in there. Forget that.
You'll be sleeping on the bench in the park drinking your...
Exactly. Is that what they call it?
Your K-cider out of
it. Is that a carafe?
Carafe.
Is it a decanter or is it a carafe?
I'm not sure, but yeah, my white lightning will look good in that.
I mean, genuinely, can I just say, having my name on it, it's very nice with the Millwall logo, but I think it's brilliant. It's really, really good. I mean, Nick, what are your thoughts on that?
I wonder who buys this stuff. I mean, who? I mean,
I wonder who's got 125
When is your anniversary?
A decanter wrapped in a chunky scarf.
Yeah.
For you.
There you go.
A night of passion follows, you know.
Sorry, love. How much did a decanter cost? I could only afford one flip-flop.
Draw them 72-inch curtains.
I'm just going to copy you into this.
I mean, genuinely, that carafe is a good idea. But what I'm saying is, Nick, is when it's your anniversary, you don't need to be going to one of them retail park-based stadiums. No. You can go down the Den. You can walk under the bridge, go straight into the Club Shop to be greeted by one of, you know, their young, experienced, vibrant sales executives.
Can't help you enough.
Who would be delighted to assist you in your shopping journey. I mean, they're as good as personal shoppers. You get Harrods, get a personal shopper.
Listen, what shop do you got where you got three people in the storeroom screaming, we don't do them in that size, and three YS will fit a seven-year-old, mate, so stop asking.
Exactly.
The classic one is on the shirt names, isn't it? People want the names of the stars on the back of the kid's shirt, and they've run out of an A.
Yep.
They have no A's, you know.
Yep.
Or no
Maya,
E, so you're league.
Try telling a seven-year-old on his birthday that this year he'll only have Gregor on the back of his shirt.
No, he's only Polish lad he is. He's Gregor. You know. But the today's star item, Mickey, you've outdone yourself again.
It's a wine decanter, listeners.
Is it in stock?
Oh, it's in stock. Who's buying that?
It's got
it's a special order.
It's got me at £125 in it, not being fat. £125.
I think it sits next to the
stadium. I mean, that will be our fourth biggest transfer record broken, whoever buys that, won't it?
The Steve Morrison shirt sits
next
to it,
£400. Yeah, exactly. You're not going to be buying that?
No. I don't actually. Do you know what? It's a funny thing. I do not go in for memorabilia. People say to me, "Do you collect things?"
Do you not fancy a trip out the Club Shop next week?
Well, I'll have a look. Yeah, I'll have a little
wander. I'll buy you that vest.
We could do a live Love Sport Periscope of the four of us in the Club Shop.
Maybe if the Club Shop's listening, you could do like a Pitch Invader string vest with like a club, a roaring lion on
with the macron ones,
about just covering one nipple. And
we could
the
have we could have Harry Warren trying on the Millwall's finest polyester ties.
You could call it the Pitch Invader.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that. There you go. More from the Club Shop next week. Nick, we've got a couple of stories. Everyone knows us.
Yeah.
Random Millwall references.
Random Millwall references. They used to do this in the fanzine, and it's amazing how often the reference of Millwall Football Club and No One Likes Us crops up in unrelated articles. Sometimes from like the world of high finance, or in this particular case, the world of journalism. This is a piece in the Bournemouth Echo. An award-winning regional daily columnist has said that working as a journalist is a bit like working as like being Millwall Football Club. Faith Eckersall works in the journalism industry for more than 30 years, made the comparison between a journalism and the South London Club by saying that you, as a journalist, you must be someone who is not liked but doesn't care. I just find it fascinating how we crop up in, you know, the most odd places. Journalistic, and there's also one near the third sector, which is not public, it's actually the charitable sector. where they're saying that fundraisers for charities need to be like Millwall fans. The lyrics to South London Team's, some would say, infamous fan chant, "No one likes us, we don't care." You've got to be a fundraiser for a charity. You've got to be someone that no one likes, but you do not care. And I used to do this in the fanzine. I used to do these, trawl the internet to find Millwall references in the most odd places. We've cropped up in the Financial Times, you know, even the Brexit negotiations in some reports I've seen, that you've got to be no one likes or you don't care. So maybe there's a market for, you know, the kind of management consultants to develop no one likes us, we don't care style of negotiation. Yeah.
So don't ban us yet, FA.
So next week, well, you know, it's not as funny as the club shop, actually, is it?
No.
It died a bit of a death, actually.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
The best Millwall reference.
I saw it, so I thought that's going to be really interesting, but it just feels like
the best Millwall reference.
Flat as a pancake.
I've heard flat as them curtains.
go and hang yourself
off. I'll tell you what, that 10-inch Zampa seems a bit smaller now, and the excitement has gone, doesn't it?
Right, size is everything.
I'm going to raise the game. I'm going to go to Philly. Philadelphia Freedom. Philly.com. Apparently, in the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl parade party sang "No One Likes Us, We Don't Care." And this is from the Philly.com article. You know where it came from. I can't do an American accent, but you can thank a football club in England first and the Philadelphia Union Supporters Club, the Sons of Ben, apparently they call themselves, second. The chant can be heard in an old video showing Millwall game highlights along with footage of its fans. And a book playing homage to the chant, "No One Likes Us, We Don't Care." True stories from Millwall's most notorious football hooligans. So it's been taken up by the Philadelphia Eagles fans, according to Philly.com. Fascinating.
The best reference for Millwall for me was in Only Fools and Horses, when Grandad talked about...
Yeah, that's a meme. That's become a meme online, isn't it?
Well, one day I thought Millwall would win the cup.
Yeah, I always said Del Boy would get to the top, yeah.
And, it's become like an internet meme. But it's interesting. I always think one of the odd things... I mean, obviously, the club's history is what it is, and, you know, we've never achieved major success at the top level, but yet somehow the name is known around the world and it gets quoted and used, and that's actually invaluable advertising.
Yeah, I still think it's that unit in the Community Cup from 2008 against Sierra Leone. That's what's really put us on the map, especially in the Iranian football world.
I mean, if you're staying playing at the Diesel Arena and fancy a curtain or two, give us a call. We'll be happy to post them out. P&E predictions, pre-dos.
I'm going to go 1-0 win, but it's going to be a tough game, Millwall.
I'm going to go 2-1.
2-1?
Yeah, they score, we'll score more.
You see us coming back from behind?
We'll be 2-0 up.
Another 1-0 win will do it for me. Yeah. Can't you, Lions?
Come you, Lions.
Telling you, I'm ready for 13 Millwall.
Bye for now.
Get it done. What would we even buy for now?
All right, I'm going to finish it.
You've got to say it properly as well.
Bye for now.
Tell your friends to tell their friends to be at the Den in 2 weeks'
exactly.
time.
Yeah.
For their visit to Norwich. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
We've had our jelly deals and our glass of beer. Come rain or shine, all the time our families will bring. And as the Lions run on the pitch, everyone will sing. Let them come, let them come, let them come. Let them all come down to the Den. Let them come, let them come.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.